Hi, everyone. This is Kimberly.
And this is Katie.
And you're listening to A Date with Dateline. Today's episode is dedicated to our Patreon / Patronus, Sarah, who is a lovely Patronus, and she's been a Patronus for a very long time. But Sarah is a generous soul, and she wants this episode dedicated to her son, Teddy, age 4, who wants to have his own podcast called What Happens Next. He wants to be a detective and a paleontologist. And we are giving him a shout out. I think she might let him listen. We have lots of children that listen to this. I don't really know how that works. There are a lot of earmuffs going on. But we love Teddy, and I think he should have a podcast and be a paleontologist.
I think he should be absolutely
anything he wants to be.
Can it not be called Teddy Talks, though?
Oh, that's perfect.
Can we do Teddy Talks? And also, when he said that the podcast was What Happens Next, I really, really wanted it to be that he predicted the future. I would really enjoy that.
We did have the son a couple weeks ago who said, my daddy's going to die.
Exactly.
And then, spoiler alert, his daddy did die.
Yes.
And I thought he was John Edwards, psychic in a little boy's body or Long Island medium without the spiky hair. Teddy predicts the future, but I think Teddy Talks is A+ titling.
Okay.
Yeah. Well done. So we love Sarah. We love Teddy too. Also, Sarah wants to thank you personally for introducing her to Baby Ballroom.
You're welcome. You are 100% welcome.
Wait, tell us briefly. It's a British show about children ballroom dancing.
Correct. On Netflix, available now, 2 seasons. About a dance company and the ballroom dancers, these children that dance for them at a professional level. They are so much better than you or I could ever dream to be.
Oh, I have no doubts.
And fancier. The outfits, the stoning on the outfits.
The stoning!
The gowns and the stones. Gemstones.
I don't think stoning means what you think.
It is. It does. They call it stoning. You stone your tights.
No, they don't. Really?
Have you not watched it?
No. Stoning means something very different to me.
You seriously haven't watched it?
No, but I shall. Don't give me that look. I will.
You watch one episode.
I'm sure it's amazing. Do they tan the children like they do here
yes.
for ballroom?
No, but let's self-tanner. So they rub the self. They're bronzed. I think they use a lot of bronzer on the face. They're definitely a different color than they're supposed to be.
I'm into it.
Yeah, you'll love it.
I'm into it.
It's good stuff.
So thank you, Sarah, and thank you, Teddy.
Thank you, Sarah. Thank you, Teddy.
Good. Follow your dreams. I also wanted to do morning announcements.
Okay.
Ding, ding, ding. That's my xylophone sound effect.
Do you want me to try to find it?
Yeah. So, 2 things. I am on Rebecca Lavoie and Kevin Flynn's hilarious podcast about Law and Order.
Woo!
These are their stories. Woo-hoo. It's my 3rd appearance on the show, my 2nd featuring father-daughter incest. So thank you so much, Kevin. Really appreciate it.
It's appropriate.
Why so?
Because you feel like you'd have a lot to say about something like that. We cover cases that are questionable sometimes.
Yeah.
I feel like you're inappropriate. Not because of your relationship with your father.
See, that's what I thought you were going with.
I meant more
sorry,
like
Bob.
You would know, Bob. That's not what I meant.
He's leaving my mom for the golden retriever. He's wanted to for years. He's trying to kill her so that he can be with
Huckleberry. Is a handsome gentleman.
He is.
With golden locks.
He is. He's getting very white, so like very distinguished. He's becoming like more of a silver fox like Anderson Cooper.
What he's turning into is Aslan. Like, that's what you're going to have in a few years. We need to get him a little crown. And then you can all dress up like Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe characters. That would be the best Hanukkah card in the history of ever. Can you work that out?
Ironically, because isn't that book like super Jesus-y?
Unbelievably so. So it'd be great. If I find the costumes, will your family do it?
Yeah.
Okay.
My dad usually likes the costumes that scare the neighborhood children.
He calls
me with glee in his voice if he made a child cry. So.
Okay. Well, then for your dad, guess what I have? I have a centaur costume. The thing, remember the guy with the legs?
No.
The hoof legs? I do. I have that, actually. It was given to me as someone, a friend of mine.
Like Firenze from Harry Potter?
Yes.
I don't know how you pronounce it.
Shout out to Michelle, who got it at the LA Opera sale. the costume That's sale. And she was like, I got this for you. I thought you would like it. And I said, you're exactly right. I like it. I love it.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Wait, do you need two people in it? One to be the back end?
No, no. It's the way that the legs go. So your arms are normal. And then the bottom looks like an animal. It looks like hooves. It's yeah, not like you're not on four. You're not on four legs. You're on two legs. You're standing upright. It's a different kind of. It's a. Yeah. It's not a centaur. It's something else. It's a. No. What is it? I'll look it up when you're doing the recap and make you mad.
Okay, fine. Anyways, check out These Are Their Stories. I nailed something in the background that they didn't see, which was some extras being extra. Mm-hmm. A little person talking to a prostitute that is about 6 feet tall. Oh. And it's the best thing ever. And so I want their buddy story, like their backstory.
In a police station?
Spinoff. Yes.
Oh. Do you talk to about this on their
yes,
show?
Yes, I do.
So everyone tune in.
And then also, Katie and I both are on Reality Life with Kate Casey. Maybe you've heard of it. Little show.
Little thing. Little ditty.
Talking about Netflix's Selling Sunset. I mean, I can't even.
You'll have to listen
This is
to
the
it.
Thing you will hear in the show is, how many dishwashers are there? Just the one. Oh.
Disappointment.
It's an incredible show. Incredible, slightly different definition there. I am incredulous.
Incredulous.
That these people are real.
Incredibulous.
Those are your morning announcements. And also, the cafeteria is serving fish sticks today. Mm. Mm. This episode is called Tangled. Season 24, episode 36. We are doing this one instead of the one that aired because the one that aired was really sad. Correct. There's been so many sad ones. And yes, we know that all episodes of Dateline are sad because someone died. But there are some that are way less sad than others, let's be honest.
Correct.
Yeah. This episode aired on April 15th, 2016. It takes place in Colorado. Shannon and her sister grew up in Colorado as Jehovah's Witnesses. Her mom is very religious. Her dad isn't, but they make it work somehow. I don't understand how you make that work.
No, because you're supposed to be... This is the thing where you're supposed to be excommunicated, right?
The thing I don't understand about the Jehovah's Witness thing is not so much like the legalities of what the church says. It's being married to someone whose beliefs you find questionable. That's what I have a hard time wrapping my head around.
I don't think he finds it questionable, though. I think he respects her beliefs.
Okay, yeah.
But he does not. And this makes me almost think that he is a former believer.
Right.
I think that they probably, excuse the siren in the background. I think that he probably...
It's the Jehovah's Wheat police coming to get you.
Jehovah's Wheatness? Is that what you were going to say? Jehovah's Wheaties?
It's Wheatus. You know that band, yeah. Teenage Dirtbag?
I'm just a Jehovah's Witness, baby. Listen to no music ever, baby. Sorry, are they allowed to? I should not say that. I don't know if Jehovah's Witnesses are allowed to listen to secular music or not.
Well, there is a wedding in here, and I was wondering about that, so I did Google like what their wedding traditions are, because they don't celebrate birthdays, so I assumed they wouldn't celebrate weddings. And some sources said they do have like a different kind of wedding, and some said they celebrate only wedding anniversaries.
Okay, I don't have
a ceremony. It was interesting. So if anyone wants to reach out, I am welcoming your comments.
Sorry, I think it has to do with that it's something about yourself, like you're celebrating you. That's like,
but this,
not
you're celebrating
godly.
A union before God.
So this must be something different. But
that
they,
makes sense.
I guarantee they're not like playing Jay-Z at the wedding. That's not
right.
Yeah, no. On right. to the next one.
I love that song. The children are homeschooled until their dad makes them go to public school for high school. Does he not know what goes on in high school? Has he ever seen Degrassi or 90210?
No.
Drake winds up in a wheelchair and Donna Martin almost doesn't graduate. No one makes it out of high school unscathed.
Does Donna Martin get pregnant?
No. Okay. Have you seen the show? Oh, wow.
Should we take this out?
Oh my god.
You know, I wasn't allowed. I mean, I haven't seen it.
I know, but it's been on since then.
Well,
I'm just, wow. We might have to just, wow.
I've seen a lot of stuff.
I know, just,
but wow. My high school, I mean, I've seen Riverdale, and I've seen Gossip Girl, which I feel like Gossip Girl is probably the most accurate representation of high school, just because that's how most high schools are.
This is that sarcasm thing that you're doing.
I am. I'm doing it on purpose. Yeah,
because you're doing it so subtly.
I'm telling you.
This is how Katie needs to do it. I think Gossip Girl is obviously the most characteristic of high schools because it looks exactly like most high schools in America. Am I right? Yeah. She needs to be more obvious with the sarcasm. Yeah, I think.
Kimberly's giving me acting notes because I opened with a horrible joke on the Kate Gacy show. I'll just come out with it. I don't know if it's in or not because
it is in.
Oh God. I was being sarcastic, but it doesn't sound sarcastic. And in my head it does. It doesn't, but no one can see my face.
I'm looking at you right now, and it still looks, because you're such an actor, actress, natural. You're a natural actress.
Good Lord.
So you breathe truth, and it appears as if you're saying this.
Don't try to be nice about it. It's terrible. Anyways, yeah, Gossip Girl is not an accurate Gossip Girl is just exactly like what my high school was like, right?
That's
guys?
Perfect. Perfect. You got to oversell it. Now I understood that you were being sarcastic. Brava. Okay. So Shannon goes to high school for the first time and she meets Aaron, who's also a Jehovah's Witness. They're both homeschoolers. So Shannon and Aaron get engaged right out of high school. And shortly after that, Shannon's mom, Pam, separates from Shannon's dad, Jerry, the one who's not an active Jehovah's Witness.
Out of JWs.
They're perfect. Okay.
JW, you can do that. But wait, now, it was out of the blue, right?
It was. I think Shannon and her sister, who we'll mention is like barely in this episode and we don't really know why. I like that they included her, but I wish they would have included her more or not at all. Because it's just a small amount of time. She's the Jan. Jerry, who's Shannon's dad, he's devastated because he had thought they were happy in their marriage despite the religious differences. Like, he had thought they were happy. And Shannon's mom wants out, Pam. And now it is only a few days before Shannon and Aaron's wedding. Mm-hmm. And Shannon's mom, Pam, and Aaron's dad, Ralph, Aaron's mom is not in the picture. So he just has his dad. This respective mom and dad take the couple out to dinner. And they think it's going to be like, congratulations on your upcoming wedding. Let's finalize the seating chart. Your cousin Natalie is going to wear a white dress because she's a sociopath. Like, just deal with it.
It's all about her.
It's all about her. You know this. She's going to sneak into every picture and pretend that she's the bride, whatever. If she doesn't catch the bouquet, she's going to throw down.
She's bringing her boyfriend, some guy named George Glass. Never seen him.
He lives in Canada. We've never met him.
They met online.
Yeah. But instead, so that's what the kids think. Like, it's just a normal dinner with the new in-laws. But instead, Pam and Ralph tell the kids that they ran off and got married. What?
Keith, I was, wow.
Is shooketh. Yeah. He kind of screams almost at Shannon. Like, who does that?
Yeah.
It's shocking. And then to poor Shannon, he goes, you know what that meant, that you were going to marry your stepbrother.
Don't point it out.
And she's like, Keith. Yes, Keith, I am aware of that. I understand why the situation is so horrific.
Yeah.
Thank you. And, I mean, what do you think of this?
I think it's horrific.
It's horrific, right? But, I mean, I want to be devil's advocate. Parents, just because they're parents, still deserve to find happiness. But don't do it the week before your children's wedding. Don't actively steal the thunder from their wedding.
That's the part that's horrific. Look, you're totally right. Their timing and their way of doing this was completely inappropriate and awful. They needed to handle this in a totally different way.
I think they should have been honest the second they started dating, yep. or kept it a secret until after the wedding and then got married, maybe, so that your children are not siblings at their own wedding. And because even if, like, they are not invited to the wedding anymore. Right. Like, Shannon and Aaron say you cannot come. But even if they're not there, you know that's all was that was discussed at the wedding. No one was paying attention to the cake cutting.
Yeah.
People are murmuring the whole time. And that's that's not fair to Shannon. No.
Natalie's white dress was way overshadowed by the fact that...
Natalie is pissed about that, too.
Yeah, she is.
Like, she was planning to steal the thunder from Shannon. But meanwhile, Pam and Ralph stole the thunder from her.
Yeah.
It's a chain effect.
That's ruined her summer.
Yeah.
but I think that Pam and Ralph, did they meet because of the kids? That's how they met?
My understanding, I mean, I know the JW community is probably not that big, but I think they were not in each other's circles at all until the kids got engaged.
They weren't at the same church? Okay. All
right. I don't know. That's Dateline's not super clear, but that was kind of my understanding.
Okay.
Which is kind of worse. They met because of the kids, and now they're...
I don't even know if it could get worse. That's
no.
Yeah. Well, it does.
Well, it does because Shannon's dad, Jerry, is suspicious that she was maybe cheating with Ralph the whole time, which I thought she was so religious. I don't think you're supposed to cheat, probably.
Well, you're not supposed to get a divorce. It's very frowned upon.
Yes, but cheating also. I mean,
yes,
she finds a way around the divorce part, which we'll get to, but not the cheating. So Shannon and Aaron are so pissed about this and the stress of this. They do go through with the wedding, but within the year they're divorced, which is so sad.
So they both have must left the church, right? We are assuming that Aaron and Shannon must have left the church because they did get a divorce.
That's true. I don't know. I'm not sure.
They say in the voiceover at the beginning, it's Keith or Lester says, no divorce. It's like no divorce and no something else.
Okay.
But...
no murder?
No murder, probably.
This is, again, another well-researched episode of A Date with Dateline.
I do not have my JW wiki page up. Hold on.
That's okay.
All right. We adhere to the Bible's view of marriage and divorce. God created marriage to be a permanent union between a man and a woman. The only scriptural grounds for a divorce is sexual immorality. Oh. The only,
I don't know what that means.
The only grounds for divorce and remarriage is adultery. So that's interesting. Okay, so 50% of the world get divorced, 5% of Jehovah's Witnesses. Like, divorce is not a thing. You're not supposed to get a divorce.
That's crazy.
So Shannon and Aaron must have also made the decision to leave the church.
Yeah, if they're getting divorced.
Or there was adultery.
I don't know. They never said. Aaron is super cute, and I think he's a good guy. And Shannon is a doll, so
because
I don't
he's super cute, so he's good.
Yeah, excellent point.
No,
great,
I'm not
great
making...
Great face. Great heart.
Oh,
he's a good guy. He looks like Aaron Tveit, the Broadway singer. That is enough for me. I'm sold.
He totally does.
You don't even know what I'm talking
about. I don't, but that's okay.
But so they get divorced. It's very sad. But meanwhile, guess who's doing great? Who's hashtag blessed?
Pam and Ralph.
They are loving their new married life. They get a big house. They open up an antiques mall.
Wow.
They buy a vacation house. Well, isn't that just great for you guys?
In the suburbs of Oregon?
Mazel tov.
Sorry, I couldn't deal. When they showed the vacation house in Oregon, I was like, her? Why?
Well, the whole episode is like Ralph.
Yeah, but why did they... It's literally just on a street. It's not on the ocean. What are you doing?
Why would you, in the mountains?
You live in Colorado. You live in a beautiful place. And so you buy a vacation house in Oregon?
Oregon's beautiful.
Not on the beach? No, but so is Colorado. I'm saying you're sidestepping.
Right. It's definitely a
sidestep. Don't say a vacation house. Just say you bought a second property. But don't call it... A vacation house is like Palm Springs. Or like the mountain ski resort. Or like, exactly. A mountain town. But a mountain house. But this is just like we bought a similar track home, but this time it's in Oregon.
Yeah.
So well done.
The HOA fee is less or something. They're like, why? Great for us.
Yeah, good job.
So Shannon and her mom have not spoken since the whole situation went down. And they're trying... Oh, also the sister, barely in the episode. She's really not talking to her mom either. But Shannon and the mom try to reconcile. So yep. they have lunch. And she feels positive about it. But then a few days later...
Mm-mm.
Oh, no.
Mm-mm.
A neighbor of Pam and Ralph finds Ralph out on the stoop, bloody, and saying, help me. He says he and Pam have been attacked and robbed. And the neighbor crushes it on the 911 call. She is calm.
Yeah.
She is informative. Her name is Fairy. I want Fairy to be my neighbor.
Yeah.
She's awesome. She's my MVP. Unfortunately, Pam was inside and she's dead.
Aww.
Ralph is also very hurt, but they're not sure what's wrong with him. They take him to the hospital. Shannon rushes to the hospital and finds out that her mom is dead. Aaron is at the hospital too. And I'm totally shipping Shannon and Aaron getting back together.
Yeah.
Like, it would be like a rom-com. Boy meets girl. Boy and girl's parents marry each other, making them siblings. Girl's mom is murdered. Boy and girl get back together. Tale as old as time.
And then they inherit the antique mom.
There you go. So Ralph had some bad cuts and bruises on him. He remembers getting up to go to the bathroom. Remember bathroom. Bathroom is like a key part of this story.
Bathroom becomes a running theme.
Yeah. He was attacked in the dark and knocked unconscious. He didn't see anything. The cops look at Shannon's dad, Jerry, who was the spurned ex-husband,
mm-hmm.
and they hadn't been on good terms since the divorce. And this is where I'll explain the divorce situation. So Shannon's mom, Pam, very religious. She wanted this divorce from Jerry, but mm-hmm. she can't file a divorce because she's Jehovah's Witness. So she tells Jerry, I'm leaving you. And oh, by the way, I need you to be the one to file for divorce because you're not religious. Which is like the sneakiest way to get around the system. She's cheating the system, basically.
I don't know how that works.
Well, because she wasn't the one who chose the divorce, maybe, so it's okay in the church.
But you're not allowed to divorce unless adultery.
But her husband filed the divorce and he's not in the church. So you can be divorced upon you. You're just the victim of a divorce, maybe.
So she's just like, it's not my fault. He just divorced me.
Right. Even though she fully said, I'm leaving you and I need you to file the papers.
Pam.
It's sneaky.
Come on, Pam.
Jerry had moved like 6 hours away, so it couldn't be him. Shannon and Aaron also have alibis. I mean, they definitely had issues with the mom, but I don't see either of them killing. Again, because Aaron's really cute.
Because you're completely biased. That's horrible. Yeah. You're being horrible. That's not nice.
That he's cute?
No, because if he was ugly, you'd think maybe he had something to do with it. If he had, like, bad acne.
No, I'd be like, oh, he's ugly. He didn't do it.
No, you would not.
I go solely off vibe.
Wow.
I have good instincts, and I go off vibe. And I have a good vibe from him.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
So the police find the murder weapon that matches the wound on Pam's head. It's a fireplace poker, which is the same thing that the owl used to frame Michael Peterson. This owl is on a killing spree from North Carolina all the way to Colorado, and the mainstream media is not reporting it.
No, it's not. It's a shame is what it is.
Yeah. The same owl or multiple. It's a gang of owls or one owl.
No.
Running rampant. I don't see it on CNN. I don't see it on the local news.
No. I smell foul play.
Welcome to our podcast. You're going to hear a lot of jokes like that.
Goodbye, everybody.
See you next week. So Keith takes us to the local newspaper office where we meet Eric Mullins, local reporter. I was a little confused by his name because for me, Eric always means a young person like Eric from Boy Meets World, or Eric is like the guy who's going to help you buy a new printer at Best Buy and he wears a name tag. But
he also could be 50, the guy at Best Buy helping you buy the printer whose name is Eric.
That's when Dwight worked at Best Buy. But right. I'm more thinking of, like, the young kid who's there on his summer break working at Best Buy.
That just makes no sense to me. Eric Mullins is exactly what Eric Mullins is supposed to be. He looks like he's how he's supposed to look. He's dressed appropriately. We'll get to it in Fashion Police.
Do you know Erics that are over 50?
No. Yes. There's a vampire named Eric in True Blood. And I think he's like a million. There we go. Did it. Eric's like a Viking name. So that's, it's an old name. It's
is the, it?
It's old country. It's old. Old Eric? I want to say old, like A.
A-U-L-D.
Yes. Old Eric of yore.
Eric?
Old Eric. Oh, I'm the olden times. Eric.
Eric, I will find you.
Come to me, my princess.
Is this like the show Vikings?
Come and share my land. Yeah, and it's every accent. I just did all of them all together. We don't.
Yeah, that was...
He's indeterminable. He's a vampire. So there we go.
Okay. So we then, back to the story. We then meet the neighbors of the mom and dad, Dina and Mark.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, Mark likes to wear a hat all the time, which yep. I know we'll get to. Mm-hmm. I feel like our dear friend Fairy, the other neighbor, doesn't approve of that hat. I think she likes Mark okay and like when he helps her with her groceries, but then she's internally kind of rolling her eyes at the hat.
I think she's maybe also not so into Dina's leather jacket.
Yeah.
Leather's not for that.
No. I think leather's, she thinks they're an alternative couple.
Yes.
Yep. She's like, they are outside of my mainstream.
Absolutely. They're creatives.
Yeah. They're yeah, creative.
Uh-huh. They're artists.
They're artistic uh-huh. types.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Because so, they do have an open mic night.
Oh, God. Yes,
at the coffee shop, like every Thursday.
Yeah.
And D&M's. She'll be like,
have fun at your thing. The neighbors were scared that someone was out there. Well, to clarify, Mark and Dina are scared. I don't think Fairy is scared of anything. She's taking self-defense classes at the Y. She's full on, that's my purse, I don't know you.
Yep.
She doesn't give an F. She's still power walking at night to get her light cardio in. She doesn't care. But no, neighbor fine. Dina with the leather jacket, she was scared to go to her painting class. I thought that was kind of cute. My mom takes painting classes. Ralph gives the police a tour of the house. He's pointing out the jewelry that's missing. There's a broken window. And the police take everything away to test it. They even take the drawer handles, the little knobs, mm-hmm. to test for DNA and fingerprints. They think it might be two druggy guys in the area, which is so funny because they keep talking about how, like, the area has been overrun with drugs, but they only know of these two drug guys.
Who like, look like these, brothers.
Yeah, these two young drug guys are the only ones on the police's radar. Baltimore is like, that's adorable, sweetie. You have yeah. two drug guys. Yeah. So now we're back to reporter Eric. Eric. And we get the most interesting Keith face I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. Eric is saying that he's been in the news business since he was 15 years old.
Yep.
Which is adorable. Was he working for his high school paper or was he a full-on newsies carrying the banner? Yes.
Extra, extra. Read all about it. Yes. Extra, extra. Get your paper.
Extra. Please grab young Baron. Extra, extra. Read all about it.
So one day. Oh, and Keith makes a really big reaction to that. I'll post it online. He's like, yeah, it's like
it's
he's
a grimace
horrified.
Smile.
Grimace,
yeah.
yeah.
I think that Keith is just like, I just want to get out of this business. And you've been in it since
oh,
you were 15?
He's like, he's been in it since, I see. That's yeah. an interesting take, that's what you got out of it. He was like,
also,
ugh.
I think it's also just hard because, I mean, print is dead, right? And this
right.
guy's been in the paper business and now he's getting obsolete. It's not his fault. It's
no.
just happening.
No. Is that paper online now in that little town?
What's it
I
called? The World Journal? They said it was a big
yeah.
name for a little paper.
They were
it was
totally
cute.
Mocking it.
They were a little.
Yeah.
And they weren't. I think. No,
no
I think
they
it
were.
Sounded like mocking because it's.
It was mocking. It was like the town used to be big and had a big name. And now the town is dead because all the coal mines are gone.
That's right. Yeah, they do go into kind of detail about
Yeah. All that's left is tumbleweeds and antique malls.
And drugs, I guess.
So this is big news. The world turned upside down.
Nope.
The world turned upside down.
I'm not adding it again.
You're going to do it. The world turned upside down. The biggest scoop of Eric Mullen's career walks into the newspaper, disguised as Ralph. Ralph Candelario. So he walks in to the newspaper office with an open letter to the whole town. And there's another Hamilton reference in there, but I'm not going to say it. The letter is Ralph's account of what happened the night of the attack. We do have a "was that shade" when Keith says, "We've included his typos exactly as they appeared." Mm-hmm. There are so many typos.
There are a few.
There are quite a few. And now his story is elaborated tremendously. So now he thinks that he remembers what the guy looks like who hit him in the dark and he passed out. It was a tall, dark man with yellow glasses, short, curly hair, wide nose, large lips, and marks on his face.
No.
No. No, he wasn't.
Yellow glasses.
Yellow glasses. No. What are yellow glasses? A hipster?
Like John? No, it's Johnny Depp in Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas is the only thing I can think. So I feel like he saw a poster of that and was like, oh, he looked like that. And was like, I'm just going to combine Benicio del Toro and Johnny Depp and come up with a mystery.
So I was going to say Johnny Depp has small lips and pale skin.
And he's bald in Fear and Loathing.
Oh.
So.
Well, that brings us to my favorite part of the episode.
Which is?
Keith sitting at a coffee table, drinking his morning coffee.
Yes.
Reading the paper with his reading glasses perched on his nose. He's looking over them. This is the sight all of us should wake up to in our kitchens every morning. We deserve that. Except Keith is maybe in a dressing gown and slippers, and there's a golden retriever on the floor next to him who brought him the paper.
I feel like he's going to have a yellow lab.
Okay, maybe a yellow lab.
Okay.
That's okay. I'll accept that.
I feel like he's going to have a shorter haired dog. That's okay. All. That's the only image that I would...
Yeah. The only alteration you would make to my story.
And they would be monogrammed slippers.
Yes.
I do think that this is the most Harvard man morning moment.
Yeah. It's so pure. It's so Americana. It's like...
Yep.
It's beautiful, and we deserve that in these trying times.
Yeah. This moment brought to you by George Washington, Harvard, and whole milk.
Yeah, whole milk, for sure. A milk delivery man brings that milk.
Within a bottle.
In a bottle, yes. Yes. And you would sit down and be like, "What's in the news today, Keith?" And he'd be like, "Well, Kimberly and Katie,
that bald eagle finally had his baby."
Yeah. Good news in the news today.
You know there's a bald eagle cam right now, right?
I've been looking at animal cams a lot lately because I've been very stressed. I did not see a bald eagle. I watched pandas. Hatch. Oh, boy.
It's coming.
I want to see that baby eagle. Mm-hmm. I've been watching pandas. I've been watching sloths. They even have beehives. And I'm not talking about Beyonce fans.
I'm sorry. So you've been watching a lot of animal cams, but baby ballroom, well, that's just a bridge too far.
No, I mean, shan't at not. Work, I'll put that on as relaxing. I can't, like, be playing baby ballroom at work.
It's like British Bake Off a it's lot like at work. That. It's just like that.
But
it's,
you know, I like equivalent. To focus. So I'm watching Great British Bake Off for, like, the 10th time, so I don't have to focus
but
on
you
it.
Don't have to focus on this. You can. But it's I fluff.
Do. Have you ever met me?
Yeah, but I'm saying maybe it's a good exercise for you to just, it's fluff.
Don't okay, I'll try, focus. But I'm going to be like, who was that? What did they say? I need to know who's saying that. Well, I need to learn all their names. I need to, you know.
You don't learn any names, so don't give me that.
Oh, is it different people each time? Oh, I don't learn names, you're
correct.
Saying.
Correct.
I don't necessarily learn people's names on Dateline if they're the sister, and why are they even in the episode?
That's not right. Poor Chad.
So sorry.
All right, keep going.
Okay, so Keith is reading the letter to us, which starts out, "To whom it may concern," which I thought was a really strange way to start that kind of letter. I don't know. It's to the whole town. I feel like it should have said, my friends and countrymen.
My fellow neighbors.
Yes. My fellow whatever that town is called.
My fellow Arethians. It's not Arethi. It's not Aretha. It's not the name of the town.
Aretha? Franklin?
Yeah. No, I named the town Aretha.
Okay. It's Aretha. So then Keith takes off his reading glasses like he's on CSI Miami, and he talks to us directly to the camera. And if you didn't get shivers, you're dead inside. Mm-hmm. The letter says that the tall guy, there's multiple guys, was talking on the phone in Spanish. And Ralph says he doesn't understand Spanish that much, but he could understand that they were upset.
Wait, why do we only get the description of one guy if there's multiple guys? Why do we only get the Johnny Depp Benicio del Toro cross and nobody else? No one knows.
Great question.
Ralph. Okay, go ahead.
Someone knocked Ralph out. And when he woke up, Pam wasn't dead, like he told the police. Mm-hmm. She was convulsing, and he went over to her and held her hand, forget this, several minutes. What? Mm-hmm. And he did not call the police. He was just holding her hand. Okay. Then she goes quiet and dies, and then the mm-mm. men return.
He doesn't say that she died, though.
He doesn't say. She just stopped. She went quiet. Like her.
He also said that he started crying at that point and yelled. And I'm like, so you yelled? Why didn't you yell into a telephone?
Yeah, exactly.
Come help me. My wife is dying.
3 minutes earlier when she was still breathing.
I don't. Ralph.
But then the men return, he said.
We're back.
Harvey's here.
We brought this bag of cocaine because we're in Fear and Loathing.
Yeah.
This is ridiculous.
So, Ralph, I just think, if you're writing a letter that the entire town is going to read, that's going to be published and live on in the archives forever, maybe get someone to proofread it. Like, maybe get your tenses straight and don't jump in back and forth between present tense and past tense in the same sentence.
He's a rebel.
He is.
He does what he wants.
Yeah. So then Ralph says things took a turn for the worst. And Keith emphasizes the T at the end of worst.
That is
so
primo editing. Because not only do they do that, then they pause afterwards. They let it hang for a second. They let you figure it out.
And then you go, ouch.
Yeah.
That's oof. Rough. Oof. Yeah. Woo. So then the typos get so much worst. He says that one of the men pointed his gub at him.
Which Keith was nice enough not to point out. Keith they just show it on the screen.
They show it on the screen, and Keith says gun. He took creative liberty there.
Thank you, Keith. That was kind. But we all see that it says gub.
We all see that it says gub. I really hate when gub. I have no idea what a gub is.
Get your gub out of my face.
Yeah. My Kimberly, gub is out of bullets.
I got tickets to the gub show.
There we go. Maybe Ralph should have blamed these typos on his head injury. Then I wouldn't be making fun of him.
He probably did.
Not in the letter.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
Keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros, two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude, stop with the voice. Just keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Bravo Bros.
Good job.
So then the men pointed his gubs at Ralph and fired, but the gub clicked and didn't shoot him. At which point, Ralph soils his pajamas. More on that later. Then another shocker. Ralph says the intruders actually came the night before he said they did. And they were there for almost 2 whole days.
So what's the antique store doing during this time? The antique mall's just not open?
Yeah.
And, like, Fairy's going down there, like, I have my eye on that vintage porcelain pitcher and basin, yeah. And uh-huh. I researched it. Uh-huh. I know what its value is.
I'm ready to put the money down.
I'm ready to make a deal.
Yeah.
I'm going to do a layaway plan.
Yeah. Yeah. Where are Pam and Ralph? Their car is in the driveway. What's happening?
But she's not nosy. She's not going to go and knock it.
No,
she's going to let them have their space. No.
I 100% agree. So then, how many times can I say then? Like, this episode keeps going. There's new things every 5 seconds. This episode does not stop. It's like a Chinese bullet train barreling down on a woman turning 40. And if you want to hear more about that phrase, consider joining our Patreon, because Keith says that nugget and it is wowza.
That was shameless.
Yeah. Then shameless plug. Ralph goes into the police station a few days later.
Mm-hmm.
He's ready to amp up the letter.
Yeah.
People have now read the letter. They've gotten used to it. And he's like, but wait, there's more.
He didn't get the response he wanted.
No. So now he has a new part of the story.
Which was a million edible arrangements and he got none. All he got was quizzical looks. He thought that there would just be fruit by the foot coming to his door. Just piles
flowers
of...
and get well soon balloons.
Yeah, like a whole barren balloon times 10.
Yes. Nothing. Like many casseroles and souffles.
Lots of Frito pie.
Written
lots
on them.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Like put in oven for, 20 minutes at 350. With the heart, he thought
so
he was
sorry for your loss.
Yes.
So sorry for your ordeal.
He is casserole-less, and he is mad about it. So he goes into the police station, and he tells them, also, I asked to go to the bathroom while I was being held captive. Another bathroom story.
Yeah.
He was taken into the bathroom, and he was sexually assaulted by one or both of the men. And the police are like, okay, show us on this doll where he touched you.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not buying it. They are unimpressed with this story. So Shannon and her sister are also unimpressed. They read the article in the paper.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, rolling their eyes. And it seems like Ralph is starting to give more details based on where the police are in their investigation.
Mm-hmm.
So he finds out that they took the knobs and tested them. And then all of a sudden, he adds this detail that the attackers wore gloves with LED lights on them.
Come on.
Is that like Captain EO? What are gloves with LED lights on them?
Is it Captain EO? No, that's the first thing I thought was that it's those guys from America's Got Talent.
Explain to me about the dancers on...
You haven't seen them? I don't remember what they're called. I think they were finalists or they won or something. But they're these, it's these light up. I'm going to send you the clip because it's these light up dancers.
Mm.
And everything's black. And then a guy shows up and he's outlined in neon. And then all of a sudden he has like background dancers behind him. But they move around and they do really cool stuff. It was one of the coolest things. I don't watch a lot of America's Got Talent, but that clip somehow. Yeah. Why are you laughing?
It was the most impressive thing I've ever. I don't watch a lot of those shows, but I was really impressed.
I don't watch that show, but that got to me. And I liked
it. So maybe these guys moonwalked into his house, attacked him, and then did a freestyle routine that J-Lo was very impressed with.
It wasn't J-Lo. It was, what's her name? Scary Spice.
Oh, Scary Spice. Okay. The police say that it's not plausible that Pam died at 3 a.m. So then Ralph changes the story and says that they came a whole day earlier.
Sheesh.
The glass from the broken window was going outside, like it was broken from inside to outside. OMG, you are so dumb. And then in his letter, or as Keith starts to call it, his manifesto, he says that at one point he grabbed the door and the glass fell to the outside. He includes that little bit in there. Sure, Jan. So the neighbors, who always wear a hat, they're not buying the story. We don't hear from Fairy, but we know Fairy is not buying this BS.
Mm-hmm.
No. She is a God-fearing woman. She doesn't take any crap. And she's like, this doesn't ring true.
Right.
Now, Shannon, the daughter, gets to say BS, but the full word, and they bleep her on Dateline.
Good for
her. Very rare beep. Bleep. We don't see that very often.
No,
she deserves it.
Yeah, she does.
Yeah, good for her. Then wow. We rewind, and we go back to when Aaron, my boyfriend, was 11 years old. Mm-hmm. He came home from school. He sees a note from his mom saying that she was leaving the family. Wow. Ralph tells the kids that she ran off to be with another man. There was a missing persons case, but nothing ever happened. Aaron couldn't let it go. So when he was 13 or 14, he started searching for her online, tried to find any trace of her. And mm-hmm. he finally comes to the conclusion that she is probably dead, that his dad had something to do with it, and probably hid her body somewhere. So at 13 or 14, he starts to go out into the abandoned mines in the town and searching for the remains of his mother. I mean, yeah, it's so heartbreaking.
It's so sad.
It's unbelievable.
So, but again, this is what I don't understand. This one, Ralph's first wife, they're divorced. They're living apart when she disappears. Yes.
No.
Yes.
Really?
Yes, they're separated. They have joint custody.
So maybe this church, I don't know.
What's going on? Is Ralph not in the church either? Is it just Pam?
No, at least Aaron's mom was in the church because he was definitely a Jehovah's Witness and he was homeschooled. So
right. We need more information. All right. Yeah. Go ahead.
At some point, Aaron starts to dig through her old stuff at the house and he finds this jacket that belonged to her mom that she never would have left behind. And he just knows that she is dead.
It's not just the jacket, though. He finds her passport and ID with the jacket. And
yeah, she's not going anywhere.
And it's like in his dad's stuff. The dad had it hidden amidst all of his things.
Ugh.
Ralph is a bad dude.
Now, when Aaron hears that Shannon's mom, Pam, is dead,
mm-hmm.
he immediately thinks, how did he do it? He knows his dad did it. As much as I love Aaron, I wonder if he could have come forward earlier when they got engaged and maybe told Shannon, hey, I think my dad killed my mom. Your mom, you're in danger, girl. But he didn't. Or maybe he did and Shannon just didn't believe him. We don't know.
That could be it.
Yeah, we don't know what happened. But I always am like, hindsight is 20/20. But maybe you could have said something.
But Shannon also says that he never talked about his mom. He would, like, stay up late and look at her stuff. But, like, he never wanted to talk about it.
But he's doing that and then going to bed with his wife, whose mom could potentially be in danger.
That's true.
You see what I'm saying?
I do. I think that maybe now he probably is like, I should have said something, I should have known. But at the time, it was like, I don't know 100% that my dad did.
People come up with all sorts of reasons to...
Oh, yeah.
To trick themselves or just, you know, avoid things.
Absolutely.
So the police put a wire on Shannon's phone and they have her call Ralph and try to get him to confess. He's sticking to the story, except that he says he only saw the attacker for a split second. I thought he was in your house for like 2 days.
And he
sexually assaulted you in the bathroom. But okay. So on his laptop, the police find hitsformatch.com days before the murder.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they don't know if it was Pam or Ralph, but I think we completely know. Because they find out that Ralph totally had a mistress.
I can't.
The whole time. The world has turned upside down again, and now it is right side up. I mean, he is a scumball.
He's a
besides being
dude.
A murderer. You can be like a murderer, but then you're a murderer and also a D-bag.
Yeah, I mean, being a murderer makes you a D-bag.
You know what I'm
automatically,
saying?
Automatically, but he was a D-bag before.
Yes.
He was a murderer, so now he's just a triple D.
He's a triple threat.
He's a triple D.
Yeah, triple D. So,
dine-ins, drive-ins, and douches.
Hosted by Guy Fieri.
Who is also probably
kind of a D.
Yeah.
So, Shannon thinks of the last time she saw her mom when they were trying to reconcile, and she said her mom didn't sound as in love as she had when they first got together.
Mm-hmm.
Especially considering that this man was worth destroying her relationship with her two daughters. Again, him? Ralph? The practically illiterate and always kind of sweaty-looking Ralph? Okay. Him? The cops find two rugs in the washing machine.
Mm-hmm.
This killed me. Ralph says, I've never seen those rugs before. Which to me was like the dumbest lie ever, because basically he's implying that the intruders were actually the Property Brothers and they brought in new rugs because they wanted to rob the place and sexually assault a husband, but they also wanted to give the house a 20th century modern look and then flip it for a profit. That's why they stayed for 2 days, because it was Frank and Hildy from Trading Spaces.
Yep.
They brought in Ty Pennington to do construction. Mm. And Hildy's putting hay on the walls because she's terrible. No one understands why you haven't seen these rugs. Except you did have a theory about that.
I did have one theory. I think that because that they own an antique mall, that they are probably those like American pickers. They pick all the time. So they go out and they shop around. There's a good chance that she went out, or this is what he said happened, is that she went out and she was doing like her local haunts, shopping for the antique mall, finds these rugs and is cleaning them. Now, I don't think you would put antique rugs in a washing machine. That seems very strange to me. I'm sure that there's a cleaning process for something like that that doesn't include a washer.
Also, but they had her blood on them.
Right.
Maybe she got a bloody nose while she was out picking.
But how does it have blood on it if it was washed?
Wash doesn't necessarily take out blood. That's why they make those special commercials for OxyClean and stuff.
Why wouldn't
that
he
get
just
out blood stains?
Why wouldn't he just go and throw them away?
Yeah.
Idiot.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Whatever. You ever heard of starting a fire in your backyard and burning things?
Yeah.
Well, Fairy would have noticed a fire burning in the backyard.
That would have been okay, though. I bet they had a fire pit at that place.
Yeah,
why don't you burn it at the store? Burn it by the antique mall behind the huge alley.
Mm-hmm.
Burn it at your vacation home.
So many good options. So, finally, the cops think they have enough to arrest him. It's been 9 months since the murder. They go to arrest him, but he's gone. This was totally a Dateline fake out a little bit, because by the next commercial break, they have instantly found him.
Yeah.
He is driving to Northern California.
Yeah, he's literally on vacation. He's not on the run.
Yeah. They charge him with murder. Now, the defense, we go to trial. The defense says that Pam and Ralph were supposed to be on vacation. So the two druggies broke into the house and were surprised that they were there and attacked them. Why they sexually assaulted him and stayed for 2 days, they don't address that. They're just
fear
pretend
and loathing.
That... What?
Fear and loathing. Loathing. They were on peyote.
Or...
So they just, like, hung out.
House flipping.
Or installing barn doors.
Mm-hmm.
Or a farm sink.
So the police also say he couldn't leave Pam for his mistress because he's a Jehovah's Witness.
He is
but
not.
But he's also cheating on his wife, and he's a Jehovah's Witness. So he doesn't, it's the same thing that we always hear, and there's so many callbacks to the Sandra Melgar case, but I do understand the thinking. It's better for these people that are very religious and commit crimes. Not all religious people. Greg, I want you to hear me. I'm not saying all religious people. It's better in their minds for people to think that you're a good person and a widower than to have God himself know that you're a murderer, which makes no sense. What? I don't know. But it's more important for them that people think that you are a good religious person.
But I think these people aren't the people that in these cases just straight up aren't really religious, right?
Right. They're faking it.
All of it's a show. Like the whole thing is a show from top to bottom. So, yeah.
Yes. So Ralph is found guilty. But guess what? Before his sentence hearing, he uses a razor to slit his wrist and his throat in jail in attempt to commit suicide, but no, not really, to delay sentencing. We are not making light of suicide, but he is not really trying to commit suicide.
No.
The judge doesn't buy it. The judge makes him go to court anyways with the bandages on him. But he didn't even have bandages on his neck.
It's a safety razor. They're not going to give you a straight razor in
prison.
Yeah,
it was a safety razor. So how much damage? I don't know. Really,
so
know
he was
what
just trying to
is.
Do as much damage as he could to get out of sentencing.
Ralph.
Yeah.
He does not look great in court.
I gotta say, too, I think that I'm really mad about it because it's such a serious thing, number one. But I think he was also trying to get admitted to a non-prison. I think he was trying to get admitted to a medical facility.
Yeah. But, I mean, he is slapping through a slapping in the face, just slapping in the face.
A slap in the face.
A slap in the face to all victims by making up the sexual assault story, by making the guys who attacked him Hispanic, by trying to fake commit suicide. Like, all real really victims is. Of anything are now... Yeah, he doesn't care. He doesn't look great in court. His hair is sticking straight up. He needs a shave because they're not giving him any more razors. And then he says, which has to be one of my favorite things said in court ever on Dateline, that Pam will be resurrected and they will be together again. But until then, Judge, I'm filing an appeal. It's the most beautiful sentence ever. I don't know if he means, like, coming up from the ground resurrected or, like, reincarnated.
I have this preacher that I met. He does work in Africa.
Pastor Biley.
Pastor Biley from Texas Twist. He knows
people in
Africa.
Doing very good things.
Is it Texas Twist?
Bringing people back from the dead. No, it's Twisted or...
Twisted Faith.
Twisted Faith or Fallen. I can never remember. Pastor Biley, he knows some good people. They're doing some really good things, bringing people back from the dead. Yeah, he's consulted. He thinks she'll be resurrected and they will see each other again. And it's so beautiful. And he's trying to be all romantic. And then he's like, but until then, Judge, I'll be filing an appeal. back down to business.
Seriously, I know.
Back to business. So then,
Pam is the Messiah.
Yeah.
But I'm also filing an appeal because clearly.
It's so weird.
So bad.
Okay. So then we get a really cute moment. Keith is talking to the two cops and she's saying how happy she was that it was done and he's found guilty. And Keith says, in his experience, I wish he had the glasses on too. And the newspaper. In my experience, homicide investigators are the biggest softies. And she's kind of crying, the cop, and saying she did it for Shannon and the sister. And meanwhile, Aaron is still trying to figure out what happened to his mom. I'm still shipping them to get back together.
Or shipping you with him. Will you help
him? Oh yeah, I'll help him. I'll be full-on detective.
Okay.
But what would be really cute is them being detectives together.
It would.
Like Nancy Drew and a Hardy Boy kind of investigating the death of his mom. I mean, no other young couple besides Katniss and Peeta have been through more than these two have together.
Yeah, for real.
So I really want them to make
it work. I wish they could make it work,
Yeah. And with that, everyone should check out a promo from our friends, the Killer Queens. They are two Southern sisters.
Yes.
Talking about murder. Listen to the episode about the foot. This foot goes through hell and back. It's amazing. Check them out.
Excuse me. We know you're listening to this amazing show, but we need some tea to the fourth power Y, some time to talk to you. I'm Tori. And I'm Torella. We're sisters and the hosts of Killer Queens. We've taken our shared love of true crime, The King, Bill Curtis, Cold Case Files, Forensic Files, and Snapped, and the 90s, The Spice Girls, Clueless, Friends Quotes, and, of course, Lisa Frank stickers, and combined them to make a bi-weekly, light true crime podcast with killer 90s references. Thankfully, you don't have to spend 4 excruciating days illegally downloading every episode of Napster. Yeah, and tying up the phone line when your mom is definitely expecting a phone call and getting grounded from talking to all your friends. Find us on iTunes and anywhere you can get podcasts. Thanks for taking a chance on an unknown kid. Lilas!
Yay, everyone subscribe to Killer Queens.
Thank you.
Now let's get to outside info. I read the letter in its entirety. There's some really good parts in it.
All right.
So at one point, the guy with the gun tells him he needs more money.
And you mean the gub?
The gub. The man speaking Spanish with the gub tells him, I need more money. And Ralph is like, I have a stash in the garage. So he puts on his shoes to go to the garage. He includes details like that. I put on my shoes. I'm assuming it's not an attached garage because, like, why would he need to put it? Or why would you even be thinking I need to put my shoes on? You're being held captive. But wait, my feet will get cold.
Yeah. But it's chilly.
It's chilly out. So my arches aren't supported. I need more my orthotics if I'm going to walk to the... So he goes to the garage and he sees Fairy's husband in their backyard. Now, it's supposed to be, according to his story, like 4:30 in the morning. But Fairy's husband is just, I don't know, standing there in the dark.
Like having a cigarette? What?
Like the preview for Us, it sounds like something really creepy. And it's also dark, so I don't know how he's seeing him. Whatever. He says he normally would wave to Fairy's husband, so he doesn't wave to him this time, hoping that Fairy's husband will think that that's weird enough that he'll come check on him. But then, like, what's going to happen? Fairy's husband is going to get assaulted in the bathroom? What's your end game here? I don't know.
I don't know either. Fairy's husband was obviously on owl lookout. There waiting you go. For the owl to come with the blowpoke.
He's smart. Yeah.
And like, okay, this is when it all happens. Wait a minute. But in trial, did he not think, well, Fairy's husband will say he saw me?
Well, he didn't wave at him. Yeah, that's a great point. I don't know if he must have seen him,
because then there would be the non-waving.
Right, exactly. No, I see your point. That's a good point.
This is something that can be checked.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yes, many of this can be checked. At one point, he grabs a small pillow off a bench and a small blue knit blanket to cover himself, and he just cried. Why is everything so small? Why couldn't he get a blanket to cover him?
Antiques are very small.
It's true.
They're very small.
And now he's just crying. He says that the intruders were talking Spanish the whole time. But there was a problem with the car, and that's why they couldn't leave.
But how does he know they want more money?
Exactly. It's very strange.
Okay.
So maybe they say dinero or something. I don't know. He seems to know like a few words in Spanish.
Ralph doesn't know words in Spanish.
No. So then he's saying they came at 2:30 in the morning. And then in his letter, he's talking about what happens at 5 a.m., what happens at 11 a.m., at 1 p.m. It's now 4 p.m. and they're still there. Why did they get dropped off and now they can't find a ride home? Did they have no friends? This is sadder than that girl who was murdered at Big Mike's Halloween party.
Yeah.
She couldn't find a ride home either. Or
she had a ride home. Her friends just left. That's not right.
Now, or did they drive there and then their car was in the driveway for 2 days and Fairy didn't notice anything? I don't think so.
Maybe Fairy was out of town.
Fairy doesn't go out of town that much. Not when she has Bible study.
Yeah.
At various points of the story, he pees himself.
Yes.
Then a little bit later, he poops himself and has to lay down in the floor in his poopy pajamas. And then later, pees himself again.
Why is he saying this in the open letter to the town?
I know. Then he passes out, wakes up, and guess what? Pees himself again.
So we have three number ones, one number two.
Never once does he mention getting anything to drink or eat, yet he has copious amounts of bodily fluid enough to poop and pee himself multiple times. Okay.
Why does he need to tell the town that?
I mean, I am a little bit of a TMI person, so I might have said something.
I think that's what reads the most false, is that he's trying to make it
garner
shock
sympathy.
Value.
Oh, shock value.
No,
yeah.
He's trying to, like, it's so raw and real and emotional, but really it's just like, okay, we get it. We would have gotten the ordeal without that.
Right, exactly.
But
That's how traumatized he was.
But he doesn't put in the sexual assault. He puts in, like,
yeah, he doesn't put in that part. Yeah, it's gross. That's pretty much this case wrapped in a nutshell. Now, do you have B-roll bonanza?
We see a lot of Shannon in a lot of various locales. Mm. It's like sometimes she's cold, sometimes she's not. A lot of like Ralph.
Interesting.
Do you see her walking in snow? And then you see her not walking in snow.
Interesting. She is drinking coffee.
Yes, she is.
For like a really long, the longest sip I've ever seen.
Yeah.
It was a long sip.
She needs it. Oh, yeah.
There's also, whenever they're talking about the letter, they're showing footage of a typewriter.
Yes.
So that confused me, but then I remembered that they do antique, so it probably was written on a typewriter.
They show the letter, and it's
typewritten. It is typewritten.
Yes.
But if anyone needs spell check, it is Ralph. So he might want to upgrade.
Ralph thinks computers cause cancer. Yes. Except for Match.com. Why is he also on Match.com if he already has a wife and a mistress? Really?
Why is he on Ashley Madison? Did he not know about Ashley Madison?
Is that still around?
I think it's gone. It was back then.
Oh, yeah. No, he doesn't know about Ashley Madison.
He's seen the commercials for Match.com. He should go on Farmers Only.
He knows about Colorado. Exactly.
There's like ranchers there.
And he probably has a bunch of old farming tools in his thing because he has a wood-burning stove. So you know he has like a vintage pitchfork from so-and-so's plantation. And
I mean, whatever. He has the props for his profile pic is what you're saying.
Yeah.
And then he has things he could be like on the first date. Let me take you back to my house and show you some farming equipment.
He's also a classic, like showing a picture that's 10 years before.
Yes.
He is And also
slightly less sweaty
in prison. He looks straight up like Mr. Miyagi. Did you see it? He looks like a different person after he tries to commit suicide.
He's become an old, wise Asian man.
Yeah, no, his race changes. Like, yeah. He's completely different. He's like a
prison
different person.
Prison is rough.
Yeah, he's rough. Let me just, I could make some horrible jokes about prison.
Oh, God. He deserves it. If you fake it, you make it happen to yourself. There we go. I just came up with a new catchphrase.
I don't know why he decides to do that. He must just not have thought. He must have just been adding shock after shock value to try to steer them away.
Yeah, I think it's sympathy, too. Like, obvious, like, poor me. He wants the attention.
Please bring me a casserole.
I want that casserole. I want the free. I want a hot dish. Isn't that what they call it?
Mm-hmm.
A hot dish.
Hot dish.
Yeah. And he is thinking.
I want bars.
He wants bars.
He wants bars.
Bars and hot dish.
Mm-hmm.
Put it in the oven for 350. It comes out great.
Perfect for second supper or third breakfast.
So, but he also thinks, I think, by making these stories so crazy, like, no one would ever make that up. No man would ever say he was sexually assaulted. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So, obviously, it's true. Nobody would say that two people came into their house for 2 days and renovated their bathroom for with new tiling.
And rerouted.
Rerouting.
No one's doing that.
It was extreme home makeover. Combined
we're gonna
with
blow, we're gonna
the
blow
sexual
this wall.
Assault of Oz.
It's just unbelievable. It's, ugh.
Yeah, he's the worst.
Ralph is really bad. We've had some bad ones. Ralph is up there for me.
Yeah. Now, I have a favorite quote, which is Keith, obviously, because Keith is the man of quotes. This is the funniest, most strangely timed quote ever. Keith is talking about Ralph seeing Pam's body for the first time. And he says that the body was revealed by the first rays of a warm morning sun.
Good Lord.
Keith, you're talking about a body.
We're talking about a body. We see the little slippers. It's horrible.
You don't have to make everything that poetic.
Pam made a bad decision, but she didn't need to die for it.
No, it's revealed by the first rays of a warm morning sun is how your lover is. Ew, I just said that L word.
Yeah,
like, is revealed in the morning sun, you know?
Or it is.
Your cat is sleeping in the little sunlight.
It's like, I noticed her freckles in the first rays of the morning sun. I'd never seen them before.
Right.
Like a little girl, blah, blah, blah. Yes. That's how that sentence is in a paragraph. But it's not. Yeah.
Keith, I love you, but you just can't turn it off, can you?
You can't.
You have to be poetic.
He can't be stopped.
All the
he
time.
He is the train.
He is the Chinese bullet train barreling towards a woman about to turn 40.
Yep.
Yes. Did you have some MVP losers?
Yeah. I think Mark and Dina are going to be my MVPs just because of the jazz factor.
Okay. Which we have, just to be clear, put upon them. They do not at all mention it in the story.
No. I get a feeling from them. And Fairy. And I think Fairy might go to their open mic at some point.
You think so? That might be her wild night out.
And I think that Dina opens with Black Velvet.
Yes.
Black Velvet. Yes. And I think she closes with Blue Bayou.
I don't know that one.
Blue Bayou. I think basically her whole repertoire is Linda Ronstadt down an octave, because Linda Ronstadt's real hard. And then Mark, maybe, I think he switches off. I think he plays keyboard and guitar.
Oh.
So he'll go back and forth. But Gina just sings.
Does Mark ever sing Jamiroquai?
You know it's like a normal hat that he's wearing, right?
Mm-mm.
It's a baseline fedora.
Yeah. On Dateline.
Yeah, we've seen it before.
And the guy we saw it before was a like jazz musician. Fake scatting. And it was the worst fake scatting. And then we looked him up, and he was an award-winning jazz singer. Which makes me think, I don't understand. Award-winning
in bunny ears. Yeah. Loosely.
Yeah, we don't know what the award was.
Like,
his mom started an award ceremony, and then he won it, shockingly, the first and second years.
Yeah, best 10-year-old. Best 10, 11-year-old. There you go. Good job.
So Ifairy's my MVP, and Shannon. I don't really have a loser. I just feel a little bad for the sister, because I think she could have been utilized better.
Yeah. And Shannon is actually totally my MVP. Shannon was great.
Shannon's
she was
awesome.
A great interview.
Brand's unhappy being on Dateline and are now associated with murder. Pajamas. They're filled with poop at all times. God,
why is he... Why? No, they're not. The thing is, they're not.
No, they're really not.
Because also, I feel like Fairy would have said he stumbled out of the house, smelled like hell.
Yeah. No, you're...
What, did he change his clothes before he stumbled outside?
No, and he even points out that he couldn't stand the smell of himself in that letter.
How does he end the letter? How does the end letter
end? Well, then it goes into the whole interrogation and how he was physically and emotionally intimidated and tortured by the cops for 11 hours.
Tortured.
He literally says the word tortured by the cops asking him questions. Now, this is a man who has been sexually assaulted by two men
moments before
and found his wife's dead body and watched her die. But the cops asking questions, that is torturous. Okay.
Okay.
So I stopped reading at that point. Because it goes on for a long time about the cops. And when they finally... And this is how I know he didn't eat or drink through the whole ordeal. Because he says after a ton of time, they finally gave him a sandwich and some water. And he realized, oh my gosh, it's been like 48 hours since I've ingested any liquid or food. Yet I had many bathroom issues.
That's not... Hold on a second. I would like to see the sign-off of this letter. They don't. Did you have to subscribe? How did you get the letter?
I don't. They publish it in a few different articles.
Hmm.
Yeah, I can probably find it really fast.
I'm trying to find it.
I just read it again last night.
It's just making me log in.
Here, I'll find it.
Oh, there's.
Oh, okay. Walls. I got it. I got it.
All right. Go ahead.
Okay.
How's it sign off?
I just wanted anyone who had any questions to know what I'm going through, and that I can't recount this every time for everybody. It's too much for me, so please be patient with me. Look out for yourselves and your neighbors, and please accept my heartfelt thanks for all your prayers, cards, flowers. He doesn't say casseroles. I really wish he said
or
hot
edible
dishes.
Arrangements.
Hugs. Ugh. And
don't
love.
Hug him.
On behalf of myself and my beautiful wife. Wait, on behalf of his wife who's dead?
Yes.
He's thanking them? Okay, thank you all. Sincerely, Ralph Candelario. Best wishes, he should have said. Fondest regards.
You can find me at hot at 24, Ralph.
P.S. My Match.com profile is still active. Check it out.
Stupid.
I...
Ralph still at my football weight, Candelario, at Hotmail. Stupid.
Oh, my God. Was there any fashion police in this episode?
Yeah.
Okay.
Eric Mullins. I'd like to talk about Eric, the reporter.
He's wearing kind of like an Indiana Jonesy jacket.
What he is wearing is, like, I'm going to call it reporter leather.
Okay.
Because that is exactly what... So now, because everyone blogs or whatever, but a classic newspaper man, that would have stopped like sometime in the 90s, which is also when the fashion stopped.
Oh.
So whatever jacket you were wearing in 1992,
it is permanently attached to your body.
That's it. So yeah. That is his jacket. It is Banana Republic when they still had the shirts with the maps on them. That is that era. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
That's that era, and that's the jacket. And it's got, like, the puffy sleeves. It probably has some sort of a padding that's probably worn down over time to make your shoulders look bigger.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, it's a very – it's this sort of nubby brown leather. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm
worn because he's been – it's too – indicate that he has been a beat reporter, like he has been on the streets.
Eric on the beat.
Yeah he's seen things, he's been in the trenches, and his jacket reflects that.
I see
street
etic.
Okay, alternative theories. I'm not ruling out the owl.
No, wait, did we finish Brand's unhappy with Dateline? Did we not go with antique malls?
Oh yeah, antique malls.
Did you know what their antique mall is called?
I forgot.
The Time Travelers Antique Ball.
Hmm.
Do you think they bought it with the name?
Maybe.
I don't feel like Pam and Ralph are going to do that.
Mm-mm.
I feel like theirs would have been called Lovebirds.
Oh, God. I just threw up in my mouth.
Sorry. They would have tried to name it something, like, cute.
They were hashtag loving life.
Yeah.
Her daughter's and his son's relationships be damned. They were out there and loving every minute of it.
Yeah.
Let's do titles. Okay. I have two and they both suck.
I doubt it.
I have The Letter of the Law.
There, that's perfect.
And then I have one more. Suck.
Yeah.
Wreck-It Ralph.
Yeah.
Because he wrecked his pajama bottoms.
He did.
He wrecked the town. He wrecked a family. He wrecked his own reputation. He came into that town like the Kool-Aid man.
Oh, yeah!
Oh, yeah! And then wrecked the whole thing.
Yeah, poor guy. He came in like a wrecking ball.
Ball.
I came in like a wrecking ball!
He never swung so hard in love.
Oh, boy. I have Burning the Candelario at both ends.
Mmm!
I'll be your Candelario on the water. Sorry.
Is that a song that I don't get?
Do you not know that song from Pete's Dragon?
No, I don't know Pete's Dragon.
Oh, boy. Ugh, it's a good one. Okay, then we have Gubbing Up the Works, Lying Like a Rug, and Great Is Thy Unfaithfulness, which is also a song, but it's Great Is Thy Faithfulness, and it's a big...
It's a big religious
Christian
thing.
Song. Yes.
I gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
I wish there was more with gubbing. Jehovah's Witness to a Crime?
There we go.
Jehovah's Eyewitness.
Okay.
Two
guys walked into a house. Wait, what about a
rugs and Greco-modern furniture?
Yeah, exactly. All right, do you have Twitter?
I have
anybody
no Twitter.
Say anything?
No. Aww. Because this was a repeat and I didn't do it.
Well,
there you go.
There's that. Okay. Well, I hope Sarah and Teddy liked their episode. Sarah
we love
and Teddy.
You, Sarah and Teddy. We believe in you. Tell us when your podcast is on the air.
Yeah, we're ready. We're ready
also,
for Teddy Talks.
Also, maybe the show is not appropriate for you, but I'm glad you're listening.
Also, maybe if you should look into if Teddy Talks is in copyright violation.
Yeah, definitely check first. We don't want you to get sued.
Definitely check that. It could not go well for you.
Yeah.
All right, do you have anything in the news?
I do have one thing, actually. Okay. People were so nice about this episode coming out late because
Thank
we had
you.
Some issues.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we had issues. But Stephanie said, to make it up to us, can Katie please do an encore of one of her favorite impressions, which is Steven. Steven, what did you do with that baby girl? Is she talking about The Hills or Laguna Beach? You must have done that like a year ago.
What did you do with that baby girl?
I don't know what did you do with that baby girl means. But I remember Stephen, which is Kristen Cavallari on Laguna Beach.
Which I've never seen.
So maybe it's me.
So maybe it's you.
But what did you do with that baby girl? What does that mean? The dingo ate my baby?
We're going to need clarification on this.
Stephanie, we would love to make it up to you.
Yeah.
We need more clarity. Also, Lacey said, I don't listen to this podcast, so it won't affect me. Hashtag Linda.
Thank you. We appreciate it. Keep Linda alive. Don't hashtag don't let Linda die in vain.
No, hashtag never forget Linda.
No. Linda needs to continue because she's out there every day.
Uh-huh.
Posting. Uh-huh. Posting that she doesn't know. Posting all the things she doesn't know. And then some things she does.
Oh, Joanne on Facebook made another set of bingo cards just for the podcast, which Rachel did like a year ago. And one of the squares is Kimberly reminds Katie about Sheila Davalou. Oh
my God. I thought it was going to be Kimberly reminds Katie that she's Jewish.
Oh, that's always on there. That's like a free square.
No. Kimberly reminds Katie that she's always right.
Well, that's that being a free
Kimberly's
square.
Always right.
Yeah, that's kind of a free square too. Mm-hmm. That's true. I think that's it.
Thank you, everybody.
Follow us on Twitter, Dateline. We have so many fun conversations throughout the week. On Instagram, Dateline. My dad is on it, and he has been heckling.
He's been hecking his way through the jungle of Twitter.
He repeatedly says he wants Katie to be his daughter, and he also thinks that he looks like John Stamos, which that was a new one. He's big at throwing shadows at me, which I think is what he thinks throwing shade is.
Yeah.
And follow us on Facebook. Subscribe and leave us a review on iTunes. 5-star review. Please, peeps. Make it happen.
Why?
Nothing. No reason. Don't panic. It's just we always want that to happen.
I'm not going on.
It's fine. We just always can use more.
Yes, please. Thank you.
Yes. And also, we have a Patreon, Dateline, and you can get a guaca episode each month.
Guac episode?
Guac episode. Because guac is extra.
Okay, so.
Don't watch alone.
Watch at an antique mall. Go to your local antique malls. They might need some support and some business. Support small businesses.
There you go. Hashtag small business Saturday.
Hashtag go buy yourself some carnival glass. Have fun with it.
What's carnival glass?
Carnival glass is awesome. I love to look at it. I always want to buy it, and then I get in trouble. But it's those really neat, those like vintage glasses that would be in like Mad Men. They're from the 60s, and they have like really brightly colored designs. I'll send you some pictures. They're fun. I have no business owning them. I don't think they're dishwasher safe, if I had a dishwasher. But it's, you know.
How many dishwashers does it come with? Just one?
Mm.
Oh, that's not going to work for us.
It's just the downstairs dishwasher.
That's a shame.
Wow. All right.
Bye, everybody. Bye.
I'll be your candle on the water. My love for you will always burn. And drifting, but the clouds are lifting. Don't give up, you have somewhere to turn. I'll be your candle on the water till every wave is warm and bright. My soul is there beside you. Let this candle guide you. Soon you'll see a golden stream of light.